Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast for winning women. We're glad you're tuning in with us today. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please visit our website at r4sq.org. Now stay tuned for today's message. Enjoy, and God bless.
Mommy, why is your tummy so big? Well, because I'm expecting a baby. Well, where's the baby? Well, in my tummy. You ate it! Since your eyes are blue, does that mean everything you see is blue? Mommy, why don't crabs have eyebrows? I didn't make these up. Mark 10. I'm going somewhere, okay? Mark 10, verse 46 says this. And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped, call him. And they called the blind man, saying to him, take heart, get up, he's calling you. And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and he followed him on his way. Now there's something very important that I want to say to you tonight about Bartimaeus. First of all, his name. Bar means, what does it mean? Son of. Bar means son. The rest of his name is Timaeus. The word tells us that his son, that Bartimaeus is his son, the father is Timaeus. So basically what that means is he didn't get a name. You need to write that down. He didn't even get a name, ladies. Can you imagine? His name is son of Timaeus. Well, God gave him a name, but we don't know what that is. But tonight, I'm going to give him a name, and I'm going to call him Bart. Okay? So we're going to talk about Bart. Is that all right? So we're told that they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. So it is safe to say, according to that scripture, that whenever Jesus came in, Bart was not there because it says he came in and then on their way out, Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside. So there's something about positioning yourself. Are you positioned for the Messiah to pass by you? I believe he missed his first opportunity. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to miss mine. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. So Bart's limitations became his identity. He is known as the blind beggar. Do you remember a few weeks, 4 weeks ago, we talked about Mary Magdalene? And I said to you that sometimes the lie that's been tattooed on you is who you become because you choose to wear the tattoo. Well, this is kind of what happened to Bartimaeus. If you allow people to tattoo you with your past, what is it going to take to get that off of you? Watch him. So I ask, has your limitation become your identity? Are you living on scraps, yet your father owns it all? Oh, and did I mention that Bart's dad's name means you're not ready? It means highly praised. Highly prized, and it means of honor. So Bartimaeus means son of he who's highly prized, son of the honored one. Yet he is on the roadside begging for scraps. So I say this to you, You are a daughter of the King, God Most High. Are you begging on the roadside for scraps? Bart is. Son of honor. So we're told that he is sitting on the roadside. I remember studying years ago this passage, and the Lord showed me a revelation. And I tell you, I talk about it all the time. And if you know me well, then you've heard me say this. And this is what the revelation was. He said, Angela, you can be ready sitting in the middle of a cotton field, or you can be ready sitting on the roadside with your shoes dangling in the street. Did you hear me? You can be ready in both places. But how far away are you willing to be when the train of his robe sweeps by? I'm going to be close enough to get mine. Amen. So somehow, some way, he found himself on the roadside. Ladies, sometimes if you got to get on your belly and crawl to get to that edge, you better get on your belly and crawl. Because I'm telling you, you're going to miss him if you don't. I'm going to prove it. Let me tell you about this roadside. There's no vehicles. There's no paved roads. They were dirty and dusty. The travel was by foot, donkey, and camel, and you know what they leave behind. So he is at the roadside. It is the filthiest, nastiest place you could be. Did I mention he was son of honor? He is at the roadside where the filth is getting up on him. Sometimes, in order to get your breakthrough, you got to get a little filthy. And that's where he was. Sometimes a little stench might get off on you, amen? But sometimes you got to walk through a thing. That's where he was. Oh, it was a horrible place to be. And then we're told that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, wait a minute. Do you think he ever heard this? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. Do you think Bart ever heard that story? I think he must have heard it because let me tell you what he did next. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He was saying, my rabbi, meaning I want to be your disciple. How did he know it was Jesus? He heard it. How did he hear it? How can you be a disciple of Jesus Christ and keep silent? It says the disciples were with him. It says there was a crowd with him. Do you think there was a commotion? There ought to have been. Perhaps that's what he heard. How can you hear about a miracle? How can you witness a miracle and not raise a ruckus? We do it every day. I'm not making this up. Today, you want to talk about how he brought you through it. And then tomorrow, you're on to the next issue. You didn't even enjoy what he just did. He yells, Rabbi, I want to be your disciple. Have mercy on me. And what happened? They rebuked him. All the people, they were, shh, stop it. Shut up. Don't bother him. He doesn't have time for you. Those coins we're throwing ought to be enough. Stop it. There's always going to be somebody that wants to shut your voice down. Nobody in this room. But you know what happened when he did it? When they did that to him? Son of David, have mercy on me! He wasn't going to miss his, I'll guarantee you that. And Jesus stopped. I love this part. Jesus stopped when he heard his baby cry. He stopped right in his tracks. I love that part. Because sometimes I just need to be reminded that when I cry out, he stops everything. Daughter, sometimes I just need that reminder to you. He stops everything and turns his face. And Jesus said this, call him. Now Jesus is talking to the very ones that said, shh, stop it. That's who he's talking to. He said, call him. Now, Jesus could have called him himself, but he didn't. Why? I believe he didn't call him himself because he wanted them to see that they were the ones that was blind and not Bartimaeus. They absolutely walked by. Oh, don't let me go there yet. Ooh. They absolutely walked by him begging on the roadside in the stench and said, stop it. They didn't see Jesus at all. At all. Because if they did, they would have known he would have said, baby. They didn't do it at all. Stop it. You be quiet. Don't bother the master. But let me show you what happens next. They had literally walked right past him. Have you ever been around, nobody in this room, but some people I hear, that they're uncomfortable with certain folks, like folks that are not always socially aware. And you just want to go, stop. We don't, but some people do. They stop talking. Because it's getting out of, just stop talking. Did you know that some people are like that around folks that are poor, like Bartimaeus? Some folks will cross the road to avoid the beggar. You know who I'm talking about. You know where I'm talking about. And you will cross the road and turn your head to keep from addressing it. That's what we're talking about. Well, not us, but that's what we're talking about. Watch what happens next. He said, call him. Take heart. Get up. He's calling you. These are the same people that said, shut up. Stop. And now, the minute you get the Messiah's attention and they see that Jesus sees you and he's using you for a thing or two, and then now they want to take you to coffee. Last week, they didn't even know you were in the room. But let Jesus show up with some anointing. I'm going to move right on. It is just the truth, Kim. They didn't know you last week. But just let the anointing sit down for just a minute. And you see what happens. Everybody wants to carry your Bible and bring you a cup of water. Jesus stops everything for this one desperate man sitting on the road. When the people, Jesus didn't call him. When the people called Bart forth, three things happened. Three things happen. He throws off his cloak. He jumps to his feet and he made his way to Jesus. Now, this is literally blind faith. How do I know that? Because Bartimaeus can't see anything. He has not seen a miracle. He's only heard it best. But he, I believe, responded to the presence of God. Sometimes, you just got to be in the presence of God. It don't even matter what you know and what you don't know. If you don't know the scriptures to be delivered or to be healed, it doesn't matter. Something about the chain breaker comes into your presence and everything breaks. And I believe that was what was happening. Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, not by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. And I'm telling you, his faith was out the roof. So I want to talk to you about this cloak. Now, this cloak was typically, I'm about to get up in your business. Is that okay? All right. So this cloak was typically the only possession a poor person had. A beggar would have one thing, I'm telling you, and it wasn't a cup to receive coins. He had a cloak. So when I tell you that he was sitting at the roadside and this great crowd passed him by, he was marked. Are you hearing me? You could not see him. And if you chose to not see him, he's wearing a cloak, which marked him like a cane, a pecking cane might mark somebody today. So he's wearing this cloak. So what would happen is he would probably begin the day trying to find the roadside. What does that look like? I suspect he was pecking. I don't suspect anybody was trying to help him because there was nobody at the roadside with him. It says he was sitting at the roadside. So he's pecking, trying to find the edge of the road. Let me tell you what happens next. So he sits down because you see, he's going to be staying there all day long. So he sits down. Now, when the beggars sat down, they would wrap themselves in their cloak, take it off their back, regardless of the weather, and lay it in their lap. So as he would sit there, this would be happening. Sometimes, poor thing. Walk by, it's all you got. Probably not a kind word. Aren't you the son of the... You don't even have a name. But let me tell you something. Call him. Get up. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. That was the first thing he did. He threw those grave clothes off, and I can only imagine the coins went flying. And why am I telling you this? Because that marked who he was. Not who God said he was, but it marked who he was. Amen. And let me tell you something else. When he threw that thing off, he's like, it's on now, because I'm about to get mine. Come on. Coins fly everywhere. He hadn't got a cup, and he don't care that he don't have a coin. I don't know how many coins. I don't know how long he'd been sitting there. But let me tell you something. Coins went flying. And he said, it's on now. I'm about to get mine. I'm about to get it. And everything that marked me, marked my past, it's over. It's over. Let me show you one more thing. Let me tell you what didn't happen. Sometimes the word of God is so powerful by what it doesn't show you. Let me tell you what didn't happen. I'm going to need to help you up. The Messiah's calling you. Oh, honey, let me come. Let me. No. Oh, you better get out. Nobody helped him. When you're in the pit, honey, sometimes nobody can help you out. You got to go by yourself. Everybody can't go with you. Do you think all the... Okay. This is off script, but I just got to say it. Do you really think all those people following the Messiah, talking, they see that pitiful man cloaked saying, I am poor, I am hungry, I can't see, I just want to see, help me. And they walked right by him. Didn't even give him the time of day. Didn't even give him the second look. Stop it. What do you think happened when he takes that thing and throws that money, what do you think happened? They're going, oh my gosh, he is showing out. He is showing out. Do you think for a moment that they were going, whoo, he's about to open those blind eyes? For some reason, I don't think that. Because if I really believed that they believed, they would have jerked him up and said, come on, we got to get to the Messiah. Take that off. That's not what happened. How many times do we do that? How many times do we do that? We leave our sisters hanging out in the stench because we won't slow down and reach out for a hand. And I tell you, after some time has passed, you'll realize if you don't get yourself up, you ain't getting up. Because sometimes ain't nobody gonna help you up. The cloak defined his old self, sort of like a security blanket. You know, you get so familiar with it that you take ownership. The cloak served as a reminder of his identity and his weakness. It defined him. So I ask the question, what do you have wrapped around your shoulders, laying in your laps, in your vehicle, in your home? What is the thing that is wrapped around you that has you completely surrounded so that you can't get to the Messiah? If there's nobody to help you take that thing off, how long will you wait before you throw it off? How long will you be tattooed with that before you make a move? Look at your neighbor and say, girl, you better take it all off. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't get crazy in here. I'm about to wrap this up. You ready? I love this. Jesus asked him one question. Not 437 like a four-year-old girl. He only asked one question. What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? There again, what did he not say? What did he say? What do you want me to do for you? Let me tell you something. When Jesus asks you a question, he wants an answer. Why would he ask a blind man? Think about this. Why would he ask a blind man, what do you want from me? Well, I tell you what Bart didn't ask for. He didn't ask for money. Because he knew that the only thing he could ask people for was money. Because they didn't have what he needed. But when the Messiah said, hey, what is it that you want? He said, I want to see. I want to see. He didn't say, I'm going to need $27 because I don't. No, that's a Band-Aid. You're talking to the Messiah. What is he asking of you? What's he asking? What's the real problem? It's not that he's hungry. Yes, he was hungry, but that's not the real problem. Let me show you how I know. Oh, yeah, it's a good time to buckle that, and I'm going in. You ready? Diseases of the eye were common during this time. Y'all are not ready for this. Diseases of the eye were common at this time. Now, a lot of people want to tell you that Bartimaeus was blind, was born blind. That is a lie. And I'm about to prove it. You ready? That is a non-truth. My mother would have spanked me for that. It's a non-truth. But I'm about to prove it to you. With with the slightest wind in the air, filled with dust, causes injuries to the eye. It is believed that if you walk the streets during this time, counting all that were either blind or they had defective eyes, it amounted to 1/2 of the male population. 1/2 of the male population was more than that in children. So how do I know that he wasn't blind at birth? Because he said in the Greek, "Restore my sight." That means he had lost his sight. Restore what has been stolen from me. I want to see again. That's what it means. I want to see again. So I pondered Bartimaeus. I believe that Bart represents all of us. Aren't we all steeped in sin, sitting in darkness beside the road of life? Then one day we cry out to the Messiah to give us light so that we might see. So that we might see. Bartimaeus did not see Jesus that day, but Jesus saw him. Sometimes when you find yourself on the roadside, you may not be able to see him, but I'm telling you, he sees you in the stench. When you're in that smelly, dirty, dusty place, he says, "I see you." 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him." He's watching you. He's got his eyes on you. Your situation may seem hopeless. People may have told you to quit and to shush. But I'm here to tell you, it ain't over. It ain't over. Tell your neighbor, it ain't over. It ain't over until you decide it's over. That's the bottom line. Until you decide that it's over, that's when it's over. When you decide that you've been sitting there long enough, wearing the grave clothes of death long enough, and the situation stay in the same way, and you keep wishing. What do we talk about this weekend? About wishing. Somebody tell me. Surely you memorize the line. OMG. Say it again. Passion without action is nothing more than a wish. Passion without action is nothing more than a wish. Passion with action, well, baby, that's destiny. Amen? That's destiny. So as I studied Bartimaeus, I can't say this enough, is I believe the entire story is about this. Who really is the blind one? Who really is the blind one? There's a fabulous quote, and I really have just shut it down, but there's a fabulous quote, and I love it. It is by... Give me 2 seconds because you're going to want this. Okay, you just got to give it to me. Jesus. I give up. I just wanted to hand it to you. And it's about sight. Helen Keller said, somebody said to Helen Keller, "What a pity you have no sight." And she responded, "Yes, but what a pity so many have sight and they cannot see." What a pity so many have sight yet you cannot see. And I was at the end of the study and I just run across that and I'm like, okay, you just confirmed it. I had a friend that said to me, once you see, you can't unsee. I beg to differ. Because all those followers, are you ready? They had seen. Those disciples, they had seen. And they chose to unsee. You know, it's funny, but if we say we're the church, we ought to be acting like it. Amen. Carl, can you come and play? So what is this whole thing about tonight? I think it's about a lot of things. I think it's about what is it that you've chosen to unsee in your own life? And I think it's about how long are you going to choose to wear that tattoo that shouldn't even own you. But because of who you used to be, you just took hold of it. It might be depression. It might be spirit of poverty. It could be hopelessness. So what is that thing? And what will it take? How far will we have to get in the stench before, just like Bartimaeus, on his face, going, I just need you. I just need you to come. If I'm telling you, if I can just get in your presence, I'm about to turn this thing around because I know where my hope comes from. I just need your presence. And I'm telling you, when you call on his name, he can't help but turn his face to you. Why? Because you belong to him. Amen.
And that's a wrap. Thanks again for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church audio podcast. If God has impacted your life through Restoration Church, we would like to hear your story. So please email us your testimony at amen@r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week. God bless.